Hello, everyone. This is Bill Knauer, and you're listening to Author to Author, where we talk about writing and life, because what it takes to write the book you want to write is also what it takes to lead the life you want to lead. Author to Author is brought to you by Author Magazine, the premier free writing magazine on the internet, featuring articles on writing and the writing life, as well as video art and audio interviews with best-selling and award-winning authors across the genres. You can find Author Magazine, as always, at authormagazine.org. And we're funded by the Pacific Northwest Writers Association, supporting writers from pen to publication since 1955. That's right, 60 years old. And we'll be having our 60th Writers Conference this summer, July 13th to 16th, here in the SeaTac Hilton in Seattle, Washington. If you want to sign up for that, connect to some agents, real live human agents or editors, connect to other writers, or if you're an indie writer, learn how to connect to your readers through marketing and just spreading the word. If you want to make all those connections, go to pnwa.org and sign up. You will not regret it. So today's guest, oh, I've been looking forward to this, is Randy Spelling. And Randy is a life coach. He's a speaker, inspirational teacher, and now an author of the book Unlimiting You, which looks at the kind of thoughts and feelings and beliefs that either support or inhibit what it is we're trying to create. And I'll tell you, after having talked to writers of all levels, from brand new, spanking new writers just getting writing their first stories to writers who have been at it for decades, who have written numerous books, nothing stands in our way like those thoughts, feelings, and beliefs. So I can think of no one better than Mr. Spelling to talk about it. Randy, welcome to the show.
Hi, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Well, you're very welcome. I'd say welcome to the show, and also welcome to the ranks of authors. You've just got your first book out. How's that feel?
It feels surreal because it's 2 years of living with this and eating it, sleeping it, drinking it, breathing it. And now that it's here, in some ways it feels normal, and in other ways it feels surreal.
Yeah. It's a very different experience because now, and of course, it's a little bit different than some other people's books because your book, Unlimiting You, is based upon your practice that you had begun before writing the book, obviously, your life coaching and your teaching. So there was some, the material, you were already had your own kind of working knowledge of it. Is that fair to say?
It is fair to say. I did have some working knowledge of it, but what I chose to include in the book really was guided, and I felt guided to put it in this way, in this form, using the stories that I used both from my own life and a couple clients and friends who agreed to use their stories. And I didn't go into this thinking, well, I'm a life coach, I can just write about all the things that I know.
Right.
Interestingly enough, I think when I started, it was more for me. It was more to crystallize where I've come and what I know and embed that in my own soul so I could then share that with others even more comfortably.
Yeah. You know, that's great. I love that you said that, that you started with it for you. And so many of the writers I know who have had some of the most effortless kind of success with their work allowed it to begin that way, as something for them, as opposed to saying, okay, I got to write this so I can get it out and I can sell it and I can give it to people. It becomes it starts as something private to support themselves and just to hear themselves think, and then blossoms into something public. What a great way for it to start.
It was fun and challenging. It was a blessing and a curse at times because I don't know what I was thinking, and I guess I wasn't really thinking, but I started this book 2 weeks after my second daughter was born.
Mm.
So I had an 18-month-old, and a newborn. And as I
wow.
am a co-parent with my wife, it was just such a crazy and challenging time. And when I started getting into the book more and more, I was faced with having to then practice what I preached. So I would come up against something in life and say, oh, wait, you're doing that thing. So yeah. you're writing about it. What do you want to do yeah. here, Randy?
Yeah.
You know better.
Yeah. It's really good to hear, you know, because I do a lot of teaching and coaching too, and I listen now to teachers and coaches with a different kind of ear than I used to, and it's always so good to hear them and their human, I don't want to call it weakness, but how they have to keep, how everyone, even the top, best teachers, have to keep their attention, they have to keep reeling it back in and reeling it back in, you know what I mean? No matter how much you practice this stuff, it's still practice.
I do. I think that's the human aspect of the lives we're living, is that we're not perfect. Otherwise, we'd be walking around like Jesus and Buddha and Yogananda and so many other teachers.
Yeah.
And so we get to learn through experience, and there's nothing like experience to facilitate growth.
You know, one of the differences between coaching and teaching and writing is that, and I've had this experience when I've had to work with people who are public speakers and are trying to write their first book, is that the person who is used to working with live human beings likes the creative experience of having that person right there and having their questions right there and present, and or the feedback of the audience, and that's a very alive an inspirational experience for the teacher. And then when they're faced with a blank page, they run up against a wall because there's no other human to give them this kind of feedback. And so did you find yourself encountering that as someone who spent so much time working with other actual people, not just your imagination or your, I call it your imagination. You can call it your muse, source energy, guide, whatever you want to call it. But as opposed to just you, the blank page, and that thing which is trying to help you write it.
Yes, I will answer your question, but I wanted to mention that I was listening to the interview you did with Neil Donald Walsh.
Oh, yeah.
And you were mentioning this, and I was sitting there pounding my fist going, yes, yes, that's right, that's right. Because
yeah.
I think
yeah.
you mentioned an author by the name of Andre Debuse.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And I love that line that you said, stop having something to say and start having something to learn.
Yeah, yeah.
I might be paraphrasing that. But.
No, that's exactly the line. That's what Andre said. He was the first one I heard say that. I thought, that is just right. That's just right.
So it ties into answering your question, because it was tremendously difficult for me. I could write stream of consciousness, not
right.
a problem.
Right.
But then I would look at it and say, there's some good stuff in here. It's actually pretty esoteric. But is this a book? Is this in a format that's going to be somewhat digestible? And my challenge was, you're right, because I work with people one-on-one in group settings, I'm also intuitively, I'm listening to them as a coach, and I also do intuitive work. So I'm listening to them underneath what they're saying and sort
right.
of getting a chance to read what's going on.
Yeah.
So I'm really out of my own way.
Yeah.
I don't feel that I am sitting there thinking. I'm really tuned in to them.
Yeah.
This was a different experience. When I am sitting there at a computer, at a blank screen, I was faced with crickets chirping more times than I could count. And when those pauses, those moments would be there, all my own stuff would come up.
Yep.
All yep. this stuff, all my limits.
Yeah.
And I thought it was so apropos. Here I am writing a book called Unlimiting You, and I'm coming face to face with all of these old thoughts and beliefs about myself that
yeah.
I didn't even realize they were still there.
You know, I just flashed on as you were telling that story, Randy, and I love that story. And I feel like so many, and I coach writers, in groups, and this is what we always end up talking about. And what I flashed on was there was a documentary I saw called The Dharma Brothers. And it was about these people who taught this intense meditation where you'd meditate without, you wouldn't speak for like a week, and they would just meditate for 12 hours a day. I do meditation, but nothing like that. And they would do this. And they went into prisons with it. And they worked with some of the most violent of the inmates who were willing to do this. And it was very difficult for the inmates because as soon as they got quiet, as soon as they got and stopped thinking and lifting weights and arguing, all the stuff that had been driving their violence and driving their life came up, and they couldn't hide from it in that silence. And that and writing is so meditative, and it will come up. All the fears and all the doubts about yourself will come up, I think, as you face what do I want to say next. Does that make sense?
You're so right. It makes complete sense. And this is one of the main topics that I talk about in this book is the idea of connection and how to establish and continue to grow our connections, whether it's being connected to ourselves, connected to the people, the world around us, or connected to a higher power. It's just so busy.
Yeah.
In the world today. For me, having an excuse to sit down and be silent was challenging, but then once I broke through and I actually stopped pushing and I started allowing, something tremendously powerful happened, and I would say transformative for me, because I tapped into something that really stamped for me how connected we truly are and this innate inner wisdom that we have. And you could call that many names.
Yeah.
I use God, but people can call that many different names. And it's there, and it's always there. So part of my mission, I felt like, is to really keep repeating at different times in different forms in this book that we are connected. Even at our most disconnected moments, we're still connected. There's something that says, wait a second, hey, what are you doing? And you get that nudge that says, this isn't right. I'm not feeling good. Something needs to change. And at those times, it sets something into motion that usually does change.
Yeah, you know, we are always connected. The fire burns in the forest whether our attention is on it or not. Just because you have turned away does not mean the fire has gone out. And so the connection is always there. The only question, and I have learned this, writing has taught me this every single time I sit down, because if I'm working on a long project like the one you just described, the question isn't whether I want to write it or not. The question isn't whether I am connected to that story, because if I found it and I'm like telling it, it is a legitimate connection. The only question is my attention on it? Have I gotten out of my own way so that I can feel that connection and find the story? It's always there. The only question is, where is my attention? What am I thinking about? Where is my attention? You know?
Right.
Where is it? Not where is the connection, because it's always there. That doesn't go away any more than your heartbeat, I don't think.
Absolutely. And you spoke about meditation and the Dharma Brothers. That's something that I find with clients repeatedly. I mean, I hear this over and over and over again, is the topic of meditation and how it can be such a point of frustration for people because there's this drive to want to meditate. I think anyone who is seeking growth and some sort of evolution knows inherently that we need to be silent at times, that we need to go within and connect to something that is more unlimited.
Yeah.
That being said, it's frustrating when we have an idea or expectation that it's going to go a certain way, or you're going to hear voices, or, you know, a light's going to come shining upon you, and it doesn't happen, and the mind starts to go, and then all of a sudden these judgments come up. Well, I can't do it. I'm not doing it correctly. And then it's something that just gets thrown by the wayside.
Yeah.
And one of the...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go on. I was going to say, one of the things that I work with people on is that idea of connection is starting a meditation, repeating to yourself, validating to yourself that you're already connected, that it's already there. There's no effort. There's nothing that you need to do to establish that connection. The only thing you need to do is bring your awareness to that connection,
right,
and then invite more awareness of that.
Right. Yeah. It's a really good point. It's a really good point because it means that you're never wrong. It's just a question of what your current... You're never out of the game. It's never over. It's just waiting for you. You know, well-being is just waiting for you. And happiness is just waiting for you. Creativity is just waiting for you. It's not impatient. It doesn't care. It has no sense of time. It doesn't judge you. You know what I mean? It doesn't care. Infinitely patient. That's been my experience.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I would like to say it's always been my experience, but I've strayed from that at times, and then I'm reminded by one thing or another that is the ultimate truth. And sometimes these truths can be so very simple, but the how to get there has, for some reason, become really complicated.
Yeah.
And it's all really simple if we let it be.
And so now, Randy, now that the book is published, right? It's out right now. It's not waiting to come out. This one is out.
The book is out. The ebook is out. It came out last week, and it'll be out in print Monday, March 16th, so next Monday.
Okay. And so, so you really haven't yet probably had an opportunity to go talk to people about it. Is that right?
I haven't. It's just starting to trickle in, which is such a fun and strange experience.
Yes, yeah.
As I said, though, it's been something so solitary, even isolating at times, that letting it out there now, just that idea that, ooh, it's out there, people are going to be reading this, what happens now?
Yeah. See, this is, I'll tell you, my work coaching people has a lot to do with just that simple fact, sharing something you created in private with strangers, with the public, and what a lovely and also disorienting experience that can be, and how easy it is to pull our attention away from where it needs to be. It's such a simple thing, and I hope for your benefit, and I'm sure it will be invigorating to have people come to it and probably read things in it that you hadn't even perhaps paid that much attention to, what you thought was so wonderful. They might highlight this little thing that you thought nothing about, one little line you just threw down there, and for somebody, this is what Richard Bach talked about when I was interviewing, he said, you know, it's going to light up for someone you're never going to meet, and to you it was like a nothing thing, and yet for them it might change their life. It's the most, talk about connection. Talk about connection.
Yes.
It's almost magical.
Yes, I absolutely welcome that, and you know, at the end of the day, that is the reason and the drive behind the book is to get it out there for people to read and to connect with and hopefully make a difference in some way in their perception, not only of their lives, but of themselves.
Yeah. So what's the difference between their lives and themselves? How do you make that? What's the differentiation there?
Well,
is their lives kind of their accomplishments, their jobs, their relationships, sort of the external things that are happening in their world? What's the difference to you?
I don't think they're that dissimilar, but I do think life has a way of happening, and it can be easy to get caught in life is happening to me.
Oh, yeah.
And I try and shift that to life is happening for me, so how can I use this to expand myself? How can I take everything that is going on, whether it's good, bad, horrible, atrocious, incredible, and know that it's happening for some reason, for some purpose, and this is going to expand me in some way.
Right.
And that's how I weave the thread in the tapestry of taking life and saying, but it's connected to you. It's always connected to you. So how do you use this?
That's right. That's right. And I will tell you a quick story around that in writing is I experienced tons of rejections through my 20s and 30s, just an ungodly number of them. And it was most bothersome to me. I was not happy about that situation. Why me? And I'd be crying and angry. I'd want to just tear my life to the ground. And yet, I see now that all the work I'm doing now that I love, and I've never been happier, was in many ways couldn't have happened unless I had gotten those rejections, unless I had not heard a certain kind of no from the publishing world that gradually guided me towards what it is I actually wanted to do. I'm glad now that they
That's
didn't
right.
say yes. Of course, I didn't feel that way at the time, but in the end, that was the case. It was for me. If you had told me that at that moment, I would have punched you in the nose. But that was the truth. But that was the truth,
yeah.
You know?
It is, and that's why it's so much easier to look at things in hindsight. You can look back and say, oh, I get it now, because you're more neutral. You're not in the situation.
Right.
It's important, though, to and hopefully people will get this as they read Unlimiting You, is that even in the heat of the moment, to just have that little bubble of notion there, that small little percentage of trust that says, for some reason, I know everything's going to be okay. I have no idea how, and I have no idea why this is happening, but I'm going to look back and understand why at some point.
It's absolutely true. I'm so glad you said that, Randy, because some of my biggest growth has come from those moments where what I am seeing looks awful, but the higher consciousness finally waking up within me and saying, I know this is what you're seeing, but you know that it's not the truth. You know that beyond the veil of what you're perceiving at this moment is a kinder truth waiting for you, even though you can't see it. And when I began to trust in that, that was perhaps the biggest change, I think, for me sort of spiritually. You know what I mean?
I do. It sounds like that would be a huge change. And even though it's just this small little adjustment, the ripple effects of that are continuous and huge.
Oh, it's everything. Here, it made me feel less like a victim. Here is, I got one, I guess like someone would like to ask you a question, Randy. We've got him on the line. It looks like Jeffrey, is that you?
It is, Bill. Another fascinating interview, my friend, as always. Well
Thank
done.
Thank you.
Hi, Randy. Best wishes to you for unparalleled success with Unlimiting You. And your
Hi,
new
Jeffrey.
Journey.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. I'm also a teacher like Bill and a coach for writers. So this has happened to me, and I was just curious if this happened to you as well. Here's my question. What advice have you received from a serendipitous source which had an epiphanous impact on you in your life? Sort of some unlikely place that you were just that it seemed to be at the right place at the right time and you heard this and it had an impact in effect.
Whoa, what a good question, Jeffrey. Thank you. Okay, yes. Can you think of such a time?
Something comes to mind.
Yeah.
And I actually share this in the book, so I'll take it from the book, is I was at a time in my life where I was feeling disconnected. And what I mean by that is I was feeling disconnected from my higher power, my unlimited source. I had gone pretty far down the road of meditation and self-help and New Age and all those things. And
right.
I felt like I was just at a stagnant point. And funny, we were talking about meditation earlier. I was at a point that I felt like I was just hitting my head against the wall going, what else? I know that there's more guidance here, and I don't feel that I'm getting it.
Yeah.
So I talked to someone that I would consider to be a higher source of knowledge, if you will, And they said something very interesting to me. They said, why do you think that you're not getting the information you need? And I said, well, I'm pretty sure I'm not, because I'm not sensing it, I'm not feeling it, and I'm not hearing it. And they said, interesting.
Uh-huh.
So when you were here on so-and-so day and you went there, how did you know to go there? And I said, I don't know. I just I diverted course and went there. And he said, oh, uh-huh. He said, let me tell you something, Randy. It's much easier for your guides, your muse, however you want to call that, to communicate with you in a way where it's a subtle and gentle nudge that's not going to take you out of your life and how you're living it. So if you were walking down the street and you needed to turn right, but you didn't know it, and we screamed at you, hey, Randy, turn right, it probably would be startling and take you out of where you needed to be. So you overhear a conversation that tells you about a cafe that is two blocks away, and you decide that you want a cup of coffee, and you go there, and you run into a friend who you haven't seen in a long time, and that was what was supposed to happen. Would you say that you weren't hearing the guidance that you were supposed to get?
Right.
And I had no answer.
I love that. Yeah. That is awesome. Because that's how it works.
I also was told by a very wise person one day that if you believe in life beyond us, beyond this planet and what we know, they said the only difference between more unlimited life forms and us is that we know that everything is synchronistic. You don't know that yet.
Right. Right. Or you don't, you're not willing to live from that place yet. Every once in a while, maybe you sense it, right? But living from it all the time, I know I don't. Not yet.
That's the mastery.
Yeah,
That's the mastery that we're searching for, right?
Well, you know, my favorite story of mastery is from Morihei Ueshiba, who's the founder of Aikido. And I've probably told this story on the show before, but I'll tell it quickly. And the whole point of Aikido is balance. When you stay balanced, you can't get knocked over by your opponents. And so you do all your – it's defensive martial arts. So everything is done from point of balance and pulling your opponent off balance, your attacker off balance. And Morihei Ueshiba is this master who studied it. And his student of 30 years was watching him one day, just dumbfounded by watching the master. And he went up to him finally and said, Master, Sensei, I've been training for 30 years. And every day I train, I'm off balance. I'm always off balance. I'm always off balance. And I watch you train, and you're never off balance. How is that possible? And Ueshiba said – he said, oh, no. I'm frequently off balance. I'm just very quick to get back on balance. So it's never about being perfect, but it's about how fast do you respond to the information you're getting. That's what mastery is. I love that definition. It's a kind definition of mastery, isn't it?
It is a kind definition, and I think it shifts it from having to be perfect and something all the time to this is going to happen, but how quickly can I get back on course?
Right, right. How quickly can I pay attention to the – as a writer, what's happened to me is my version of that is it used to be a very difficult experience, because every time I try to put a sentence down or follow an idea that didn't work, I'd meet the resistance that's like that feeling of imbalance. It's the resistance of it's outside the story I want to tell, outside the idea I'm trying to share. And now as I've become more of a master at this experience, what I do is I pull back quickly. As soon as I feel that little bit of resistance, I'm back off that idea and searching for another one, as opposed to trying to plow it through. And that's really where most of the mastery has come, just coming back quicker. Well, I would love to chat with you all day, but I have time limits, unfortunately. And so what I'd like to do is ask you one more question, Randy. Are you ready?
Sure.
Okay.
I'm ready.
If writing has – I want you to finish the sentence. If writing has taught me anything, it's taught me
– how to trust the information that I'm getting and to be kind and gentle with myself in the process.
Oh, that's good. Trust and gentleness. They go hand in hand. Well, Randy, the best of luck to you with this book. I hope it sells a million copies. And
thank you,
I
Bill.
Hope that lots of folks are helping. And so it's Unlimiting You, and it's out in ebook now, and people can buy trade paperback versions in a couple weeks. Is that right?
Correct. It's available on Amazon and also on my website, Randy Spelling, both in print and ebook.
Great. Well, Randy, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Best of luck with the book.
Likewise, Bill. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Ooh, that was a good one. Trust and gentleness. Can't go wrong, people. Can't go wrong. Okay, next week I will be talking, well, we're going to be on a roll. I'm talking to Laura Berman Fortgang. Laura Berman Fortgang, who wrote the book Now What? Know Who You Are and Get What You Want. So we're on kind of a self-help spiel here, a self-help role. It's good. It's good. We all could use a little help for ourselves. So until next week, as always, do what you love, write what you love, and you can't go wrong. You can't.